I don't, the passage of scripture that's in the bulletin, Mark 5, just kind of hold on to that for a little while. Last Thursday, a week ago, my brother and his wife were traveling up from Charleston, South Carolina, to celebrate with my family on my dad's 80th birthday. And Craig and I didn't get into a lot of discussions about that event 10 days ago at the church in South Carolina, but he did say that Friday morning his phone lit up like a Christmas tree, and that he owns a couple businesses in Charleston, and the African Methodist Episcopal Church, AME Church, is right on the main thoroughfare, I guess, of Charleston. And word did not get out sufficiently early enough, but this past Wednesday at Garden City United Methodist Church, just outside of Monroeville, a service at 7 o'clock in the evening took place. Community clergy from around the Monroeville area of ecumenical body participated in worship. William Meekins, the assistant to the bishop, was there. Paul Taylor from the Pittsburgh district and Pat Nelson here from the Greensburg district were there and leading in worship as well. Reverend Scott, the pastor of Garden City United Methodist Church, which happens to be one of our, I believe, only integrated congregations of a healthy mixture of people from around the world. He worked on, I believe, his D-min with Clem, as he calls him, the pastor that was killed Thursday evening a week ago. And he said when he first met Clem, it was around the mealtime, and, you know, Clem was in the black tradition of the suit and the tie and just... And Scott was there in probably shorts and a T-shirt. Not sure where he was going to sit down, and there was an open seat at Clem's table, and Clem looked at Scott and said, "Friend, come have a seat." And he said, that was Clem. Everybody was invited to sit at his table, and I believe that he said, because I've not kept up with the news, that the young man that did the shooting was invited to sit right next to Clem at that Bible study. And he specifically went to that church because as the state senator, Clem was doing some things that the white man did not agree with the blacks. As I said, that church did what it was supposed to do. They were welcoming. They were hospitable. They opened their doors to someone who was not part of that congregation. You know, Psalm chapter 13, verse 1 to 2 says, "How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? How long until we in the church get it right?" Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. "Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way Jesus opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. It's a fascinating verse, 24. The word provoke is not usually convey a positive image. To provoke someone is to stir up a negative emotion or anger or something. But the writer of Hebrews says, 24, and let us consider how to provoke one another to love and to do good deeds. Wow, I think maybe in the life of the church around the world, we need to do some more provoking. We have in our midst the one who was, the one who is, the one who will forever be. And we have, as Hebrews, we're not always certain how to deal with this great high priest, because we're not sure, at least in the Methodist tradition or the Protestant tradition, what that means to have a priestly person in our midst. But Hebrews says you have this great high priest in Jesus Christ, the one who comes to us, the one who intercedes on our behalf through the Almighty. We have his words, we have the the teachings of Jesus Christ. And how long until we hear, take to heart, and do the words of Jesus Christ? How long, O Lord, must we wait for that to come to fruition? If the words and the teachings of Jesus Christ are taken to heart, then it's not long at all. But if the words and the teachings of Jesus Christ are not taken to heart, well, my friends, it's been going on for thousands of years of tension and turmoil, hatred and killings. And we really have to ask ourselves, when is this merry-go-round of inequality going to stop? You know, it's been shared in some of the meetings where I've been to over the last few months that as the bishop and the cabinet began their appointment makings this season, they've run up against some disheartening experiences. They've had churches complain to them about the Asian pastors that we just can't understand them, we don't want them anymore. We have in our conference 10 district superintendents, two of which are females. One of those females was doing the intake. That's when a new pastor was being introduced to the staff parish committee. And after that intake and probably an hour or so time of conversation took place, what usually happens is that pastor is removed and placed off in another room. And the DS has a conversation with that pastor. Well, what do you think? Do you think it's a good match? Are there any huge red flags that we need to be aware of? And then the DS goes into the committee of the staff parish and says, well, what do you think? And one time this spring, the staff parish said, we will not take that pastor because they're not wearing a necktie. And the female DS looked at them and said, I haven't worn a necktie for 20 years. And they said, that's exactly right. We won't take any woman pastor. Or how about another one of our female DSs? Could have been the same one, I'm not sure. Was doing another intake. Had a conversation after the interview and said to the pastor, what do you think? Yeah, it'll work, it'll work. Went into the staff parish and they said, well, point blank, we don't want a woman. How do you have the nerve to say that to your female district superintendent pastor? We don't want a woman. And she looked at them and she said, are you telling me that you don't want this dynamic, energetic, incredibly highly respected female pastor in the conference? You'd rather have a mediocre male? And they said, we'll take a mediocre male any day over a dynamic female. You know, we've still got a lot of issues to deal with in the life of the church. Why can't we accept our differences and get along? I mean, we don't, in this sanctuary, I'll bet we could find differences of opinion in the life of the church, but we can still worship together. Why do we have to think in the life of the world around us that because someone's different, we have to kill them? But I do believe that the power and the presence of Jesus Christ does have the power to overcome. I believe that the power and the presence of the love of Jesus Christ and the grace and forgiveness that is offered to each and every one of us does have the power to overcome. Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 23. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Jesus Christ, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Jesus Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are part of Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. The scripture that I didn't read this morning, that's from the Gospel of Matthew, that I mentioned in the children's sermon, go home and read it, because it's stories of two wonderful healings in the life of Jesus Christ. And I'm convinced that just as Jesus Christ healed then, Jesus Christ can heal our hearts and minds and spirits today. Last evening, there were actually a mom and a dad and two children that were visiting for the first time, and another woman that were visiting for the first time at the Saturday night service. And the mom and the dad were there, the two little girls they had. One was, I think, 2 years old, and one was 3 months, still in that carrier. What do they call those things? Just carrier? You know, those ones you can swing them in or lock them into the seat. Hold the thought of the three-month-old or the new grandchild for a second. Because, my friends, Lincoln and Gandhi, Dr. King, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, they were all born as little children. They weren't born heroes and reformers and those that pushed the limits for change and reform. They were born just like us. But they had words to proclaim, to boldly go into their communities. And that boldness needs to be a part of our hearts, our minds, and our spirits as well. That we might boldly go into the world. Oh, I'm a Trekkie. To boldly go where no one has gone before. The new one changed it, if you catch that. If you're an old timer, the old one was to boldly go where no man has gone before. The next generation changed that to boldly go where no one has gone before. Well, we'll quote Star Trek. But let us boldly go, perhaps where no one has gone before. And that means if you're standing in the line at the grocery store and someone makes an inappropriate comment about a group or an individual, challenge them. If it occurs, as the saying goes, around the water cooler, challenge them. And don't let those things, that stuff, be allowed to live and grow and be rampant in our society, but make the teachings of Christ and the love of Almighty God be what is rampant in our society. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, your presence comes for the transformation of the world. Bless us and anoint us, O God, with a fueling, a fire, words that cannot be kept silent, that cannot be kept tucked away. Oh God, may we boldly go into the world and be used for great things. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen.